Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Devin.
And Kate.
Welcome to MedCrimes.
Yahoo!
Live stream.
Live stream version.
Woo! God.
This is so fun.
Talk about something new.
So we are live streaming this episode on Facebook right now, and it is a fun experiment because neither one of us have done this before.
Not a clue what we're doing.
But this is really cool and fun.
We're figuring it out.
We literally are.
It's going to be weird. We want to be like, we're going to go through our story, right? We're going to go through our episode, but we're also going to try and interact with those that are currently watching right now.
Yeah, and it's going to be super fun.
Hey, we'll see.
It's literally going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Another great week.
Another great week.
We're having just like an amazing several weeks.
So much fun.
We love doing this though. So like, just, it's always a fun time when we get to do this.
I mean,
it's always awesome.
Awesome possum.
Awesome possum.
I'm a possum. No, I'm not. I'm cuter than a possum.
This just got weird. Real weird.
It did get weird. What I meant to say was, it's getting so awesome that, you know, we're starting to, like, you know, you and I have always had like our little pod over the years and whatever. And one of my favorite things that I've heard about this week is the people who are saying, like, I've shared your stories with my coworkers, and now you got a little fan pod over here, and now you got a fan pod over here. And
yes,
there's
love
one
that
I specifically remember that somebody said from San Diego.
I love that so much.
The San Diego fan pod, you're getting a shout out because you're the one that comes to my mind.
Yes. So, we love you guys so much. Welcome to the
family. I'm jealous of your weather.
Yeah. Oh my God. Me too. Yes. Our weather sucks over here. But yes, we are so appreciative of all of the wonderful feedback and wonderful response.
It's been awesome.
And thank you, San Diego listener pod. We love you. We have a treat for you guys today, because we're going to talk about the person that you can't, like, do a medical true crime podcast without eventually talking about this guy.
Oh.
Michael Swango.
Okay.
00 Swango.
Can I just talk about his name?
Yep.
Swango.
Yeah.
Swango Fango. No. I mean, Twango.
What's happening?
I don't know.
What is this?
Remember when you told me about what's his nickname?
00 Swango.
Okay, so when you messaged it to me, I was like, ooh, Swango. I was not saying 00. I was saying, ooh, Swango.
Okay. Before we get into 00 Swango, though, we do have some Patreons to shout out.
Yes, we do.
One of which is live with us right now.
Yeah, she is.
So we're going to say her name first. Dakota Conroy.
Dakota.
Girl, you are the peanut butter to our jelly. And we love you.
The peanut butter to my chocolate? Because I also love peanut butter chocolate.
That's another amazing combination.
Hey, so you're the first Patreon to get your shout out live.
Yeah, girl. Ooh,
yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
And then Marizana Bentley.
Marizana Bentley.
Marizana Bentley.
Do you have a Bentley? Girl.
Does she have a Bentley?
Oh, do you think I know what car she drives? Oh, I wish. Man. I hope she has a Bentley. Because
good for you.
Good for her.
Good
she has
for
a Bentley.
You.
Good for her. Do you want to know, like, let's get serious for a second, because I am really excited about this episode, because I am psyched to move on from the saga and the stress and the being emotionally drained from the whole Redon DeVos situation. I am, like, so ready.
So can we talk about Ooh Swango?
You mean Ooh Swango? Just 00 Swango. I like Ooh Swango. One more thing before we get started. I did want to say a holiday has passed since we last recorded. It is Doctor's Day. Happy Doctor's Day.
Happy Doctor's Day.
To all the doctors and future doctors out there, we really appreciate everything you do. Thank you so much for sticking with us in this pandemic. It's been hellacious, but
brutal
you guys
for
are
you,
amazing.
Like it is for us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So thank you to all those wonderful doctors out there. All right, so without further ado, you want to get into this?
We're French again.
Yeah, always.
Your French is getting us in trouble.
It is. Those are a couple comments that we've received. Really, the only negative comments that we've received on Instagram or any other platform is about my swearing. So I think that's a win. I really do. So I feel like
I'm fine with your French, and so are a lot of other people. So.
Honestly, that things are going in a positive
parlez-vous
direction.
Parlez-vous français.
I do parlez-vous a lot of français at very inopportune times. All right, so we are going to talk about this guy. Michael Joseph Swango was born October 21st, 1954, and he is an American serial killer and former physician who is estimated to have been involved in as many as 60 fatal poisonings of patients and colleagues. This story, guys, is wild. It's really interesting because this guy, he only admitted to causing 4 deaths. But it's very apparent, and we'll get into it, that he caused way more. I know. So he actually... So Michael Swango was born in Tacoma, Washington, but he was raised and had most of his childhood was spent in Quincy, Illinois. And he is the middle child. So there was 2 other boys. So there were 3 boys in the family. He was the middle child of Muriel and John Virgil Swango. And Swango's father was a career U.S. Army officer, and he spent a lot of time away from his family. And they were moving, like, he moved all over the country and really barely saw his family for the formative years in Michael's life.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually...
Don't tell me he's blaming all this on an absent daddy.
Well, I don't think he really blamed it on him, but there's not much else in his childhood that I could find that really, like, sort of pointed to why this might have happened. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So his father did serve in the Vietnam War, and he was actually kind of a higher ranking officer, and I'm not sure exactly what he ranked, but he was listed on a who's who in government in 1972 to 73. Now, okay, his military time did take quite a toll on him, and he did become an alcoholic. And the times that he was around the boys and Muriel, mm-hmm, the memories were not happy. There was a lot of sort of disharmony in the house, and obviously he was drinking a lot. And eventually Muriel just, like, got totally sick of his shit and bounced and divorced
that a girl.
Him. Now, Michael was an incredible, like, he was like a model child. This is what everybody says. He was a model child. He got the best grades any you could expect out of any child. Mm-hmm. He had all the extracurricular activities. Because his dad was so absent during his formative years, and then he and Muriel ended up getting divorced, Michael grew very, very close with his mom. And all of the family tended to say, like, oh yeah, Michael and his mom were like this. Like, those two were very close. Even, like, the other boys in the family, Michael, that is what it was all about. And mm-hmm, he was, like, really her baby. So they had kind of, like, a really special bond.
And then this is where I always ask the question.
Oh.
So what happened?
I know. It was noted that Michael really loved music, and his mom loved music too. And the two of them spent a lot of time, like, playing music together and, like, mm-hmm, making music. And actually he learned piano, and he was felt to be a very talented pianist. And they had a piano in their house, and Michael would often, like, play for his mom in the evenings after school, and his mom would just, like, sit on the couch and listen. And it
sounds
was just
like a relaxing household.
To me, that sounds like such a vibe. Like,
it's a thing.
Sounds great.
It's good fun.
Like, I hope that my kids, like, are talented musicians and, like, not just, like, come home with a saxophone that they don't know how to play, which would also be fine because, like, hey. But it'd be cool if they, like, got to learn an instrument really well so I could just, like, sit and just, like, listen to it and
to
just, like,
jazz.
Shake it in and just, like, have my white wine.
Listen to the jazz.
Just listening to it.
Listen, you're going to have to get through a lot of the bad nights where they don't know how to play it before you get those good ones.
I know. It's all good, though. So, he actually won, like, a lot of awards in school. He tended to be, like, at the top of his class for every single grade.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did end up graduating high school, he was the valedictorian, of course. His mom does report that even early on, Michael had this, like, fascination with death and violence, and he was not obsessed with only, like, just death. He did like death, but he liked the violence of it, and, like, the gorier and more shocking, like, the better for him. Which is just, like, weird. Like,
creepy.
Even young. And as time went on and he, like, grew into high school, he would, like, clip news articles and, like, National Enquirer articles about, like, car crashes, plane crashes, and, like, really violent deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, literally make scrapbooks out of it. Isn't that weird?
I don't like that. That's, it's like, keeping a diary of, like...
Like, a literal diary of, like, violent death.
Ew.
So, to me, like, as a mom, I'd be like, I feel like I would need to, like, get that, like, checked out. You know what I mean? Like, let's go,
hey, Doc.
Honey. We're just gonna bring you somewhere.
What do you think about this?
Yeah, can I just run something by you real quick?
Where can I put this on the questionnaire that you give us to fill out?
Exactly. So, if...
That last box where it says, does anything concern you about your child?
This.
It goes right there.
This is what should concern you. Everybody, that's what should concern you about your child, if you ever notice that. So, was Muriel concerned?
I hope so.
No.
Oh, man.
She helped him make the scrapbooks.
Wow, stop it. That's no, like, arts and crafts shit.
So, It was obvious to her that, especially in high school, that Michael had a strong aptitude for, like, chemistry and science and was interested in, first of all, enlisting in the military, but ultimately having a scientific career. So to her, she had just, like, assumed it was all because, like, he had such an interest in, like, medicine and science. And
when I help my kids make their scrapbooks, it's not going to be of that.
Yeah, I'm that's a hard no. So that was kind of just like an interesting, weird little thing. And so in high school, again, he did exceptionally well and he got nearly perfect grades. He graduated valedictorian from his Catholic high school. He did have like...
Blessed be the fruit.
Jesus Christ. I love that show, by the way.
So do I.
Why don't we ever talk about this?
I don't know.
Okay. After
Make
the episode.
Make open.
After the episode, we're going to talk all about that. But we have a job to do. These people are watching us.
You're not going to be able to edit this shit.
I know. I'm going to love it, though. During his high school years, he did also start developing like a kind of like an obsession for military stuff also. And in particular, it really started to escalate after he had like this sort of short-term girlfriend in his sophomore year, and they kind of broke things off. And then after that, he started getting really heavily into the military stuff and actually started coming to school like dressed in fatigues.
Okay, so like I was just about to ask you, like, so what do you mean by like military stuff? Like wanting to be in the military? Yeah. Like, or like into the weapons of the military?
All of the things. So, and he...
I mean, because they have like JROTC and all that stuff.
Like, oh, yeah.
So they,
I mean, I don't know that he did that, and I don't know that they had that back in the 70s. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Maybe, maybe not. But he was very heavily into it, and he even went so far as to spray paint his car dark green.
No, like, he didn't.
Oh, he did. Yeah. I know.
That needs to go on the questionnaire, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So... he graduates from high school, valedictorian again. This was in 1972. And he immediately enlists in the Marine Corps. And he went to recruitment training. And he ended up stationed in San Diego. And there, he actually did really well and excelled. And he did exceedingly well in boot camp. And then he was trained as a rifleman and even got designated as a sharpshooter, which is like a designation that you have to earn, I guess.
That is a, that's like.
And I feel like that's
a thing.
Yeah.
That's like.
So now in 1980, he received an honorable discharge from the Marines. And I believe that was just when he sort of completed his 4 years. And he didn't really ever see any action. He didn't go overseas and he wasn't really in battle. But what he did get from the Marines, though, was like this love of physical fitness and
good.
Exercise.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And I mean, people that were classmates of his.
I say, good. Look at me.
Look at me. Have you seen me? And people would just see him running, like he would run twice a day. He would weight train. He was very, very, very physically fit and really cared about
which
that.
You need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really good, healthy habit to have. So after the Marines, he decides to pursue chemistry and biology at Quincy University. And it's worth noting that when he enrolled at Quincy, he provided like some misleading information about himself and what he did in the military. And he said that, oh, I earned like a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart in the Marines. And like, no, you didn't. No, he didn't do any of that. He was designated as a sharpshooter, which is like pretty cool. But he didn't like earn all those high honors.
He's a liar.
Also, he never like saw battle. Like he was never like in action. Hmm. So lying right off the bat to just like make himself kind of feel better and like appear cooler.
Which he doesn't need to make himself feel better. I mean, up until this point,
he's
he was
a Marine.
Doing fine,
like,
and he was valedictorian and in the military.
Well. Exactly. So he went on to graduate summa cum laude from the university, and he was awarded this really prestigious award for chemistry and for his studies and his grades in chemistry called the American Chemical Society Award. And this is like the highest distinction in the field of chemistry in the country.
Oh,
like this is no joke. This guy was super smart and had such an aptitude for science.
Great.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So he should have been really proud. He was doing really well just with that.
This is why I'm like, why do you gotta go lying?
You don't, man. You don't. So Swango then enters medical school at Southern Illinois University School of Medicine, or SIU. And while he was in school at SIU, he found work in his community as an emergency medical technician at a local ambulance service. Mm-hmm. So he loved both things. He loved school. He loved the ambulance service. And he really excelled in school. So classmates found some of his behavior really odd, though. Like, his study habits were really weird. Socially, he was super awkward and always seemed to say something that left people being like, what? You know
Sounds
what I mean?
Like me.
Devin is identifying to the nth degree with Michael Swango, and I don't know how to feel about
probably
that.
Probably the only time I'm going to do it.
Okay, cool. So, he even, so there was this part of medical school where you have to take and pass these multitude of tests that have different modules, like say like a module for a different organ system, like a genitourinary module, a mm-hmm. musculoskeletal. So you would have to take and pass all these tests early on, like in the first year of medical school, in order to pass on to the next. So he was studying for those, and what he would do is he would like...
Is that like the MCATs?
No, this was after the MCATs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he after did amazing that. At the MCATs, too. I don't know why I didn't write that down, but I did read that somewhere. Where was I? Yeah, okay. So he excelled, but his study habits were weird. Like, these module tests that he would take mm-hmm. were like, he would go out in the hall and like cram for 5 minutes. And then come back in and take a test. And then he would go out in the hall and like cram, like sweating bullets over his paper.
Do you think that 5 minutes taught him anything?
I don't know, but he did it.
That
though.
Never
he
worked for
well.
Me.
He did really well. But yeah, it was really kind of weird. And actually, people saw him do this, and he would like ace the test when he did this. He would ace it, like it worked. And so people saw him do this, and then other people started doing it, and the professor actually started calling it swangoing. They would say, "Hey, no swangoing." Isn't that weird?
If I hear the term swangoing, the 5 minute cram session's not what I'm thinking of. Just saying.
He was the only one in his class that he knew of that had a military background. And at the time, there was sort of, I mean, we know that the time period that this is happening, there was like, this is sort of the tail end of like this big anti-war movement. Right? Like, the Vietnam War was several years earlier, but there was still a lot of, you know, negative connotation around mm-hmm. being in the military at the time. There were people that, you know, there were protests still happening, sort of like even in parking lots and on campus and at the library. And so he kind
of... they're still in a pretty heavy post-war type of...
Yes, exactly. So he felt very segregated having been somebody from the military. That kind of like sequestered him from the rest of the class a little bit. Now, he made really very few friends, and the few friends that he had at school would later reflect on how they realized that they knew very little about him, actually. Like, they didn't really know anything about his family or where he came from mm-hmm. or, like, really anything about him. Early on at school, he was also pulling these shifts as an ambulance attendant, and don't shame me for saying ambulance attendant. That's what they were called at the time. I read that.
It's a period term.
It is a period term. I know that they are emergency medical technicians and paramedics. I knew his title was ambulance attendant. And he was noted very early on in this role to have a fascination with death and dying also. And it seemed like he always wanted to be where the action was and where, you know, all the like really gory, gruesome, like violent accidents, bad car crashes. He just like raised his hand and like was out the door, and he wanted to be a part of that.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So,
which is obviously part of the job of an EMT, but I don't know if any of them actually want to see that.
Yeah, and it gets really to like a very weird level, and we're going to talk about that, but it ends up being like, you know, there's, you know, having an interest in wanting to help people in that situation, which I think all of us have that to a degree as healthcare workers. And then there's like Swango, who
was on the hunt for
was obviously like getting some weird sick satisfaction out of the whole thing. So now during his third year of medical school, now this is where rotations often begin through the specialties. Now the first 2 years tend to be very academic, or at least they were at this point. And the second 2 years of medical school tend to be where the rotations start and they start getting a lot more hands-on clinical time.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, yes, it does. Now, their rotations at this point included pediatrics, obstetrics, internal medicine, and surgery. And friends started noticing that when he was at school, he would have a fascination, again, with the stuff that was, like, the sickest and the toughest and, like, the most complicated and the stuff of the people that were, like, really near death. And some people started dying after Swango saw them as part of their
school. Red flag.
Red flag number one.
Red flag.
Now, initially, of course, everyone kind of just writes it off as like a weird coincidence. And like, why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Like, because
especially in the very beginning.
No one would ever just like suspect that, you know, someone is doing something that terrible. And it all just seemed like a weird coincidence. And then there was a running joke that formed of, oh, if, you know, if you have a patient that's kind of annoying and you don't want to deal with them anymore, just like have Swango go do an H&P on them and then they'll end
Stop
up
Stop it.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did. They started saying that. Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's on the paper, Devin, so it must be true.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be true.
The deaths started becoming a little bit more frequent. And what would happen is, like, Swango, a lot of what they had to do was practice doing an H&P, or a history and physical, which is an initial visit with a patient wherein you get an entire history of what's going on, a review of their system, a review of systems and all of their symptoms that's going on, a whole physical exam, and then you formulate a plan. So it's really the most comprehensive encounter that you can have with a patient as a provider. So he was doing a lot of these H&Ps, as most medical schools do, most medical students do at this point. As the third year rolled on, more of these deaths happened, where Swango would go in and do an H&P on a person or have an encounter, and then all of a sudden this patient would, like, code and die. And sometimes it was like, okay, that person was pretty sick, like, I guess, you know, it could have been expected. And other times, not really. Other times, patients who were, like,
they're like, okay, this came out of nowhere.
Well, it came out of nowhere.
Where did that come from?
Exactly. Like, where the hell did this come from? So he soon, because of this, he soon earned the nickname 00 Swango because he had a license to kill. That's where that came from.
From med school.
Yeah. This is not a distinction you want when you're in your third year of medical school.
Isn't it a plug for Grey's Anatomy way back when in like first season or something? George, remember they called him 007?
Oh, did they?
Do you not remember this?
No, dude.
We're talking like 20 years ago, I mean, because that show's on forever.
Devin, I don't remember that one comment from Grey's Anatomy many years ago.
Fine.
I'm sorry.
I do.
You. Okay, I know you do.
I do.
I know you do. So he began seeking rotations in the area of a particular interest to him, which was neurosurgery.
And oh, gosh. Here we go again. Come on.
Dutch vibes. I can't. I'm sweating. And this really kind of surprised his colleagues or his students. What am I trying to say? Classmates. Thank you. Classmates is a word that I know.
Have a drink.
So classmates began thinking, you know, because he starts spending like a lot more time on the ambulance and a lot less time like preparing for his clinicals. And, you know, when we were in nursing school, you had to spend all that time prepping your patient.
The whole day before.
Oh, yeah.
The whole night before. Go to the hospital. Get your info. Do all your preps. Exactly. Stay up late.
Well,
have your car break down. Yeah, and your stepbrother needs to come get you because you had to go to the hospital to get your med list.
This is not from personal experience.
Not at all.
She's just coming up with that totally off the top of her head. It's very specific. Good job.
It's one of my most favorite memories about my stepbrother. But anyway, moving on.
So now he started working longer shifts on the ambulance, and then they started like really kind of taking away from his time preparing for his rotations and studying. And so he had such high grades and feverish study habits really early on, but now his classmates were noticing that he was a lot more careless and a lot less prepared than he should be. So
I'm getting a lot of Dunch vibes.
He even carried a pager for the ambulance while he was like during clinical hours at school. And
what was he going to do? Just leave?
He literally did.
Hey, Devin. Teach.
He did.
I'm going.
He did. He literally would get a page and he would just get up and go. And his teachers were like, what?
Could you imagine if any of that happened during our clinicals?
This would never fly today. This would never
The one
fly.
Time I showed up to clinical with my hair not in a ponytail.
Oh my God. What a day. Devin was pissed.
Oh.
Ugh.
Forgot the hair tie.
That was ridiculous. So this would never fly today. But I thought that was really weird that they even let him by doing that. But classmates began noticing all of this, and they started suspecting that he was faking some of his exams on patients, and in particular during his GYN rotation, which was his last rotation for that semester. And he actually, what they were suspecting is that he would write all these notes being like really elaborate, but he wouldn't actually go and physically evaluate the patient and see them. And one time he was caught red-handed doing this. So his supervising physician caught him when she had asked him to go perform an H&P on a pregnant woman who was scheduled to have a cesarean delivery. She noticed that he was in and out the room in less than 10 minutes, which like you can never, I do H&Ps every day. You can't do that in 10 minutes. You just can't. Cause it's so comprehensive, you know, and especially
as it should be.
Exactly. So she looked at his note, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful note. It almost looked...
But if you had witnessed the event,
exactly. It was a beautiful note. But she went into the patient's room after the fact, and she's like, so, what did this guy like do for you when you were in here? And she's like, oh, he asked me like 3 questions and he barely spoke to me and he didn't touch me or examine me at all. So at that point, he gets written up. And this sort of starts to escalate, and eventually...
Did she make him do it again?
No, so stay tuned. So this gets escalated eventually to the dean of the school, and this was like a big concern because his classmates all kind of came together and were like, we really think he's been doing this like a lot. This is not an
isolated... And you're finally just catching him.
This is not an isolated situation.
Mm-hmm.
So he was actually nearly expelled for this in his third year of medical school. So ultimately,
because it's no joke.
It's totally not. And then, so ultimately what the board decided to do was to make Swango repeat his GYN rotation before they would allow him to graduate.
Good.
So through all this, he kept a really close relationship with his mom, and his mom was like so proud of him that he was going to medical school. She was always like talking to friends and
as
family.
We all would be with
oh
our
my
children.
Gosh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. So she was just thrilled that he was doing this. And of course she thought he like walked on water, and everything that he said was true, and it was gold, and it was the obvious truth, everything that he said. So she was always very proud. She was psyched, obviously, for his graduation, but he actually lied to his mom about why he couldn't graduate with his class, because he had to wait a whole nother year to repeat this GYN rotation.
So same way our system works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he lied to his mom and he said, oh, well, I can't. They got something mixed up in the computer, so I can't walk at graduation. I have to wait a whole nother year, which like is such bullshit.
Please tell me she wasn't stupid.
Oh, she believed him. Yeah. She told all her friends, oh, you know, Mike can't walk at graduation because there was a computer error. And they were all like, are you sure? That sounds really weird. And she's like, yep, he said it. So it has to be true. So it's just very
moms
unusual.
Are always supportive of their babies.
Yeah, maybe to a fault with this lady. So he finally, a year rolls by, he finally repeats his GYN rotation, and during this he was a model student. He put in all the required hours and then some, and his performance was noted to be satisfactory, and he was finally able to graduate.
Finally.
Through school, he's spending more and more time on the ambulance, right? And it's most people who are in medical school really don't even have time to work. It's such a voluminous amount of work just getting through school and studying, and the time and the hours, the clinical hours that you're expected to put into it makes it nearly impossible to really work through medical school. But
well, wasn't this the same thing in what in the Dr. Death? How do you have time for dysgenics?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to keep bringing up that dude, but it's very similar. They're very linear.
They really very much are, absolutely. I bet you he had a fucking scrapbook somewhere. Just a terrible, terrible things. We just haven't found it.
Darn scrapbooks.
So he's spending a lot more time on the ambulance, right? And at the time, he worked for American Ambulance, was the name of the ambulance service that he worked for in Springfield, Illinois. This brought him into regular contact with dying patients and accidents and traumas. And his coworkers really felt that he was really good at his job, but his behavior was always just a little off for that same stuff. Like, he would always just say something that really didn't, you know, it just kind of rubs you the wrong way. It gives you like a weirdo vibe. Now,
gives you a swango vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Swango vibes. So at one point at the station during downtime between calls, he was found clipping articles about accidents and death and all the horrible things that happen.
You know how they have in the stalker, the crazy people, when you're watching TV shows and then all of a sudden there's like all these newspaper clippings and it's like a big scrapbook on a wall?
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
With like the red marks everywhere.
Red marks, there's arrows, there's string everywhere.
There's the thread, like pinpoint A to B.
That's exactly what happened.
Probably call it the Swango method.
The Swango walls. At one point, he was found like doing this clipping thing for his scrapbook, right? And when asked why he was doing this, he reportedly said, quote, "If I'm ever accused of murder, this will prove that I'm not mentally competent. This will be my defense."
Fucker.
I know.
Fucker.
He literally said that. And people like kind of brushed it off like, okay, no. Weirdo, like
he's
whatever.
He's planning that shit.
Exactly. Super weird.
Oh.
So, despite this, he managed to get a glowing recommendation.
Despite
being a complete weirdo in school and at the ambulance, he got glowing recommendations from a neurosurgeon who had been his mentor through his neurosurgery rotations that he signed himself up for. And he actually landed himself a prestigious neurosurgery residency at Ohio State University Medical Center. And all he had to do was complete 1 year of general surgery internship at the same hospital prior to beginning, which is standard practice for a neurosurgery residency. So now his behavior at time was even like a little erratic and violent, like at the ambulance headquarters. And at one point he became enraged following a call. And I'm not exactly sure like what preceded this, but apparently he kicked a cabinet and like broke it. He broke the cabinet and he had to pay for it and he was put on probation. Now, the last straw was when he was on a call and he was the first responder to a patient who called reporting that he was having chest pain. And apparently this guy was like dizzy and diaphoretic and in acute pain in his chest, short of breath. And I mean, any one of us would look at this guy and be like, he's obviously having an event and he needs to like very quickly would, you know, get vitals, maybe give him an aspirin and a nitro, put him on a monitor and get him to the friggin' hospital ASAP.
Yep.
And later when he got to the hospital, it was confirmed that he had a STEMI, like a massive heart attack. He could
do all those things that you just said.
So instead of doing all of those things, he made the patient walk to his car and get into his car so that his family could drive him to the hospital. He said, fine.
He called 911.
Yeah. And the ambulance, ambulance attendant, which is what his title was, thank you, told him to get in his car and drive to the hospital. He had a STEMI. Like, he literally almost died. And I don't know if that was just like, his sick way of like sideways killing someone. You know what I mean? Like,
right. by not directly, giving him the emergency transport that he needs,
withholding the like neglecting him and essentially withholding the care that he needs. But the patient survived, thankfully, but he and the family were not happy about being treated that way. And they called the ambulance company and told them what happened and complained. Mm-hmm. And when Swango was confronted with this by like the higher ups at the company, he offered no explanation for his behavior. And finally,
deflected.
He was fired. They were like, good. I don't know what that is, but
we Jesus, don't do that here.
Jesus Christ.
We don't do that here.
God. So his internship begins, and it was immediately noted that he was, quote, weird. This is a whole new environment.
Direct quote. He's weird.
Yeah, exactly. Whole new set of people, whole new environment. Everyone immediately is like, this guy's really fucking weird. I don't know what it is, but he's really weird. So this is sort of how the structure goes. Now, you round on patients with your attending, typically in the mornings. And what happens is the interns and residents will prepare for rounds by, you know, familiarizing yourself with the mm-hmm. patient mm-hmm. and presenting the patient to the attending mm-hmm. like verbally, giving essentially an entire H&P in verbal form, what medications they're on, and then formulate a plan. And then in turn, the attending will critique you, or the chief resident or whoever mm-hmm. is supervising you will critique you on that. And that is how you learn. I've had to do it many times.
Very live action.
Yeah. It is anxiety inducing, but you learn mm-hmm. very well doing that. And mm-hmm. it's not meant to be a punitive thing. It's just, that's how you learn how to mm-hmm. make judgment calls mm-hmm. when you're practicing medicine. So Michael Swango did not like being critiqued.
Wah.
He did not take this well. He would get very defensive. And at one point, he even dropped and did push-ups in the middle of the ward. Didn't get something right, he would, in the middle of the unit, while actively rounding on patients, and he would receive...
This is not boot camp.
He would receive his critique and then drop and do 20 push-ups.
Drop and give me 20!
It's just the friggin' weirdest thing I've
PTSD?
Ever...
PTSD?
I can't even... I don't know what it is. It's just...
He's trying to do his psych defense.
Well, he's... I don't know, maybe a psycho... Maybe it is that. Now, when he worked at OSU, he often worked in what was called Rhodes Hall, which was an inpatient surgery and, like, med-surg unit. And...
Excuse me.
At this time, he was still working in the ambulance a lot. So he was splitting his time, and... His time was essentially being pretty monopolized more so
with the ambulance. Which, again, you're not supposed to do when you're in a residency.
No, dude, no.
You live, eat, and breathe your residency.
Exactly. His performance started to suffer, and he started doing the thing that he did during his third year in med school, where he was, like, unprepared and showing up sporadically, leaving early to go on trauma calls, and just, like really weird stuff. Like, stuff you can't really do in residency. Now, this led to a bad performance review, and apparently he was very upset about this. His neurosurgery residency...
How many push-ups did he do?
I know, right? His neurosurgery residency hinged on this surgical internship, so he was, like, really pissed about it, and he tried to appeal the bad review to argue his case, but nobody bought into the Swango bullshit, and it was denied, thankfully.
The Swango bullshit.
Yeah.
There are so many terms coming out of this.
It's just such a... His last name has such a... Such a flow.
A slang.
I know.
Peace.
So now nursing started noticing that some shit was going down when Swango was around. So that rhymed. I'm so sorry. So nursing started noticing that things were going awry. And... Now, patients that were even relatively healthy began, like, coding and dying, like, they sort of like they were before when he was doing his rotations. And not just sometimes. This was, like, with alarming frequency. Like, it's really crazy. So, a pattern was starting to emerge that each and every time, Swango was the intern that was on the floor. Mm-hmm. And nurses started to pick up on that. Now, one day, there was a nurse named Ann Ritchie. And her patient, who was relatively healthy, went into respiratory arrest after a visit with Swango. She went in to check on her patient, whose name was Ruth Barrick, after the visit, and initially thought she was asleep. But as she looked closer, she realized her color was off and she wasn't breathing. So she immediately called for help, and of course, Swango is the first body to enter the room.
I'm here! Swango has arrived.
Never fear, Swango has arrived. So, of course, they start trying to resuscitate her, and thankfully, Anne caught this really early, and the patient was resuscitated and intubated, but remained in critical condition, so obviously was transferred to the ICU. And after she recovered, after a few days, she was transferred back to the floor. Nobody really had an explanation for what happened to her. But Anne noticed another day, taking care of the same patient several days later, who had come back to the floor after being in the ICU, that her central line was giving a central venous pressure. You can sometimes hook up a central line to a catheter that will give you measurements of central venous pressure and some different cardiac pressures. So her central line, Her central line was giving some central venous pressure readings that were kind of off and wonky. So she had asked that Dr. Swango go in and kind of troubleshoot the line and maybe replace it if it needs to be replaced. Because sometimes that happens when they get old, mm-hmm. the catheters need to be replaced. Mm-hmm. So she asked him to go take a look at the line. And she noticed that when Swango went in there, he had closed the curtain all the way around the bed so nobody could see around the whole bed, which was like a little weird. And she checked on him a few times.
Extra patient privacy.
Extra privacy. Oh, sure. Now, she checked in on him for a couple times, and he was in there for like quite a while, and she witnessed him pushing multiple syringes of a clear medication through the central line. And she thought, okay, well, maybe it's saline. She's just trying to clear the line. But mm-hmm. typically, if you're trying to do like turbulent pushes to clear the line, there's going to be some blood, like you're going to draw back and there's going to be blood mm-hmm. in them. That's yes. usually how that goes. But they were Everything completely empty. It was completely clear. So she's like, it's a little weird. But finally, he's done. She's like, oh, thank goodness. Oh, now, literally seconds after he left the room, literally 10 seconds.
What happened?
She codes again. And this time she died. So poor.
The nurse came forward, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of incidents exactly like this. And I could have made this series four parts long because there are so many stories in the book that I read about this guy, about patients. And they were all very similar. You know what I mean? Like a very healthy patient would ultimately die after visiting with Swango. And I wish I could talk about each and every one. And I'm making this two parts because I don't know how to be brief.
Nice song.
Thank you. And I have to do everything in two parts, apparently, because I'm a crazy person. But anyway, I could have made it four parts, so you're welcome. But yeah, there's a lot of people that he did this to.
Is that whole thing the first part?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I told you, I don't know how to be brief. Hmm. So, this time Ruth died. And there was another patient incident that happened. Now, this patient coded shortly after Swango made a visit to her room. And this was after rounds were done. So typically, like, the doctors round sort of once, and unless there's an issue that they need to address, they mm-hmm. won't really go in there again. But it was, so she thought it was a little weird that Swango had gone back into the room a second mm-hmm. time right after rounds had been done. But she saw him leave, and then moments later, the patient is in respiratory arrest. And she was brought back, but the nurse reported that Swango was in the room and to the doctors that did respond, which they all found odd because rounds were done and unless mm-hmm. there was an issue.
Right.
Now, once the patient recovered, she had a little bit of memory of what happened beforehand. And she said she remembered seeing a man in a white coat enter her room, inject something into her IV line. And that's the last thing she remembers. So
suspicious.
Very much so. So at this point, because of the growing number of incidents on the floor, administration is starting to investigate. And there are reports from nursing and other colleagues regarding Swango's weird behavior. And Swango is, of course, confronted with the info and denies it and gets really pissed and says, well, the patient was delirious, obviously. I didn't give her anything. Like, why would I do that? Now,
Why would I do that?
Why would you do that, Swango? I want to know. Now, there were many other incidents, and there were a lot, were investigated, and he was only arbitrarily connected to each one. Like, he happened to be there, mm-hmm. but, and there was concern that, like, a nursing rumor mill was forming, and they were, like, overdoing it. It was becoming a little bit of a witch hunt. You know, all of those
things. This is giving me some Janine Joan vibes.
And Cullen, that whole dynamic plays in. Like, we've seen it many, many, many times before. I feel like this happens all the time where administration is like, no, this is just like a witch hunt. And like, they just downplay the whole incident and like hope it goes away, which is like really unfortunate. So ultimately, there was nothing that they could prove. Like, because
this is the part I hate.
The one time that he was witnessed doing anything was when he was injecting those syringes, and he could have been troubleshooting the central line.
Right.
And she happened to code like right after.
It was a coincidence.
I know, exactly. So now, of course, Ohio didn't want to be sued with any wrongful death or sued for firing Swango without course. So they ended up doing was push him out the second his surgical internship was up. So after that first year of just general surgical internship.
And so not giving him the neurosurgery.
Exactly. So the neurosurgery residency that he was offered was rescinded, and Ohio buried a lot of their patient details. And what I have that I'm reporting are just firsthand accounts that ended up in this book that I read, like from staff members, because the actual files and documents are totally buried.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Now, in 1984, that year, because he didn't have anything else lined up in terms of residency, he returned to Quincy, his hometown.
Mom, I'm back.
Mom, I'm back. He returns to Quincy, and immediately he applies for an ambulance service job. And in 1984, he is hired as a paramedic by the Adams County Ambulance Corps in Quincy. And the crew thought it was like weird that a self-professed neurosurgeon was working on an ambulance for not very much money. But Swango kind of spun it as like, oh, well, it's temporary. Like, while I get my licensure going, and my residency unexpectedly fell through. So like, blah, blah, blah. This is why I'm here. So they were like, okay, whatever. Okay. Keeping your skills up, like, whatever. I guess it makes sense. So now there, people started noticing that he had like really odd behavior and a fascination with the more violent scenes, as was his MO prior. And he always volunteered for extra shifts and to go on the gnarliest of calls. Even if he wasn't on duty, he would monitor calls with like a shortwave radio, and his coworkers would just see him like show up at scenes when he was not on duty. Like, how fucking weird can you be? Can we just talk about
I'd be like,
bro, chill. For real, chill. So kind of weird. Now, his behavior, just like, again, the way he talked, his mannerisms, all were just super unsettling. And he had this, like, again, this fascination with, like, you know, like the death and like the gore. And so the normally quiet and like unanimated guy would, if there was like something weird and gory that he would encounter, like a really bad accident, he would suddenly become like joyous and animated and excited. And everyone would be like,
Are you okay?
Like, for real, are you okay? And and it was just like very unsettling. Creepy. And he would get so excited and hyper. And if he ever missed a gruesome call, he would like pick up the phone and call his coworkers at home and have them describe the call. Isn't that weird?
Ew.
And he would ask for all of the details, like, what'd you see? Did you see the bone? Was it poking through the skin? How much blood was there?
No.
Did you see his brains? Like, literally, it's like he thrives on all. It's crazy. It's like he thrives on the gore.
I want to see him getting the chills from, you know, basement, but no.
No, you're getting the chills from that. Now, it's just bizarre. Now, he often even talked about wanting to work as a coroner, and he actually went so far as to approach the coroner's office and inquire about a job, but they were not hiring at the time, so they turned him away. But he, that's how like fascinated with death he was. I'm crazy. So
Creeper.
He now both men and women worked on this ambulance service, and now locker room talk, and I'm using quotations because what it actually is sexual harassment, and it's not okay. It especially, you know, it in that era it was a lot more normal, and I think we've sort of are moving out of that now, thankfully, but mm-hmm. in this generation, you know,
because we're talking about the 80s.
Exactly. Now men and women would joke with each other about like sexual stuff, but even though it's like kind of gross and like not really acceptable in today's world, it's like in general no one really meant any harm by it. Mm-hmm. It is gross, don't get me wrong. Swango took it like way too far when he would like participate in that. He would
especially
like
with the last name of Swango.
Swango, yeah, I know. It's just the whole the Swango. His name alone is just fucking weird. So now, trigger warning here because like there's a little like sexual assault vibe here and like violence. So at one point, a female coworker like recounted a time when some of this talk was going on, and Swango just like chimed in by saying, by like describing in detail what he wanted to do to this particular EMT paramedic sexually. And he wanted to complete the act by plunging a hatchet into the back of her head. What the fuck?
I'm silent because I have nothing to say.
Who could say
Come
anything?
Come on.
Like, and also,
What did she do? What did she do?
So, and this was in front of other coworkers. Like, this was in front of,
like it's in a group.
Like,
a group
it's
setting.
In a group, and I can just picture it. Everyone just, like, gets quiet and just fucking looks
like,
at him.
Like, did that just happen?
Like, bro, what? Mm-hmm. Like, are you serious? I can just picture all that happening. Everyone just kind of, like, stopping and looking at him like, dude, what the fuck? So, they all... Like, everyone was pretty kind of grossed out and offended. I don't think anything really came of that, like, from a disciplinary, like, standpoint, but Jesus.
Well, I mean, yeah, how can you really, at a disciplinary standpoint, at that, especially at that era?
Yeah, exactly. So,
man.
Yeah, everybody thought that was very weird. And Swango started frequently bringing in food for his coworkers.
I would not eat his food.
Okay, I'm glad you said
I'm
that.
I'm just gonna straight up say that I would not eat his food.
Well, we're going to talk about why nobody should ever eat Swango food.
Who did he kill?
Hold on, Devin.
I always do this.
I know you do.
I always do this.
You do this, always. So.
I would live because I would not eat his food.
Because you would not eat his food. So not everybody else was quite as astute as you are, Devin. He started bringing in food. And one day he brought in this box of donuts for the crew. And they all, of course, took one because, like, donuts are amazing. And one of his coworkers recalled that they tasted like a little funny, and he said that to Swango, and so he was, and Swango replied, "Oh, they're day olds. I'm sorry, I did get you a box of day olds. They're day olds, meaning like they're a day stale."
Cheapo.
So they were like, "Eh, you know, giving them." So they all kind of chalked it up to them being like a tiny bit stale. But later that day, the entire ambulance crew became violently ill. They were nauseated, they were vomiting, they were having diarrhea, they were dizzy. And they
Everyone except for Swango, right?
Everyone except for 00 Swango was feeling awful. And one crew member actually jokingly asked him that day, "What'd you do, Mike, poison us?" And Swango, of course, like shook his head and he was like, "Oh, dude, I would never do that."
No.
But I mean,
no.
The whole thing is like, pretty suspicious.
Who,
like,
me?
Yeah, I know. Who,
no.
Me? My last name's Swango.
I don't do that.
Now... Another night, he and his partner were assigned to post at a high school football game. You know, there's like at like sporting events, there's always like an ambulance with a couple of
yes.
EMTs, you know.
Yeah.
So they were assigned to do that. And Mike volunteered to grab drinks from the concession stand. And his partner, whose name was Greg Myers, who was not on shift during the donut incident. So he did not experience this.
Fine.
So he's fine with it. Reportedly watched Swango go to the concession stand, purchase drinks in hand, go into the men's bathroom, And then come back out and
Swango's doing this.
Swango's
right?
doing this and bring him the drinks. And when he came over with the drinks, he asked, Greg asked Swango, what'd you do, Mike, take a piss in mine? Like, jokingly, because he brought them into the bathroom. He was like, no, man, I just needed to stop at the
So what happened to him?
His partner drank and immediately got violently ill with all those same symptoms. And Mike, of course, was completely fine and was just, like, watching this whole thing unfold. Now, if Swango would offer to make the coffee or mix a pitcher of iced tea that day, people would get sick after they had that. And it started getting really obvious to people that he was like,
he's the only one not sick. And this is like after he's been around the food.
And they're like, is this guy really this brazen? Like, we know he's doing something. And like, what the fuck? So
this is when you bring your lunch to work every day.
Soon, when he would bring something in, it went completely untouched and nobody would touch it. Finally, people caught on. Like, you don't want to get swangoed.
Nope.
That's a term now. You don't want to get swangoed. I'm not going to be getting swangoed. So finally, co-workers, when he was out on a call, got fed up and they went through his locker one day. And they found...
What'd they find?
They found two boxes of ant poison.
Ew!
Which contains arsenic. And they found two bottles, one of which was half empty. And the other one was sealed and full. Now, from here, obviously they're convinced that he's putting ant poison in our stuff. So, from here, the EMTs and paramedics began to plot a trap for him. So, this occurred on a day that Michael was on and, again, volunteered to mix a pitcher of sweet tea for everybody. Now, they all worked together and they put together this fake ambulance call with his partner in on it.
Yeah, they did.
These guys are awesome. Fucking EMTs. You guys rule. They put together this call that doesn't actually exist and Swango and his partner leave to go on this call. And the rest of the crew then take the tea out of the fridge and they take samples of it. And they each like kind of dip their finger in it and taste it. And they're like, whoa, that tastes way too sweet. And like the ant poison is very sweet to attract the insects.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a sample of it and they bring it to the chemistry lab at Quincy Blessings Medical Center, where Dr. William Gasser, who had been one of Swango's professors of chemistry at Quincy College, assessed the sample blindly, not knowing anything. Mm-hmm. But it did test positive for multiple heavy metals, including arsenic.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. A few days later, Michael gets a call asking if he can stop by the Adams County Sheriff's Office, and they implied that it was about the coroner's job. The coroner's position. So he thought he was going there to like interview for a position as the coroner, but he was very dismayed when he stopped by and he was immediately arrested for poisoning his crewmates on his ambulance service. Like a total psycho.
Psycho.
The sheriff's office then get a warrant to open up Swango's apartment. And when they got the search warrant and opened up his apartment, they were pretty stunned at what they found.
Ooh, what they find?
They found
an scrapbooks.
They found his death books. They found an entire mini lab with multiple poisonous compounds. These included ricin, botulinum, and cyanide.
No.
Yeah. They found all of his scrapbooks with the articles on disasters and accidents. They found hundreds of syringes filled with God knows what and empty syringes. There were tactical weapons, many, many, many guns, and military paraphernalia, which is fine, whatever. But there were many books about murderers in the medical field.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, specifically murderers in the medical field. I know. I feel like if he were in today, he would be one of our listeners today, probably.
Oh, God.
And I also don't know how to feel about that.
No.
Now, his family was stunned to hear the news, especially his mom, who, again,
My boy.
I know.
Not my
And that's
child.
What she said. She said, and he was denying everything vehemently. So she's like, of course he is innocent. His mom always believed him, always mm-hmm. believed him. So she felt he was innocent because he said he was innocent. So he was charged with aggravated battery, and he was convicted on August 23rd, 1985, and sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Only five?
5 years in prison. And if you think that's the end of Michael Swango, we are just getting started, baby.
Five is not enough.
No, it's not.
I was going to say five is not enough.
No.
And that's only part one. I'm like, we never hit conviction on part
there one. There is literally so much more, and I cannot wait to bring it to you guys. It's crazy what happens next. This is a wild case.
It is a wild case.
Swango.
Thank you guys for listening on our first live stream.
Oh, this was so fun. What
Hopefully
a cool
for
thing.
Those that weren't part of the live stream, it wasn't too distracting for you.
I hope it wasn't. I hope it went okay. And so,
hey, so if you want to give us some feedback or if you want to like interact with us, you can follow us on Instagram at MedCrimes Podcast.
Send us a Twitter at MedCrimes PC.
Find us on Facebook by searching MedCrimes Podcast.
Or if you wish to become a Patreon and join our family of amazing woodland creatures.
Our
and
family,
critters.
Which, by the way, we are looking for lucky number 20.
Yeah, we are.
We're looking
that
for
space,
lucky number 20.
That space is yet
it's
to be filled.
It's hanging out there for someone.
Yet to be filled. You can visit www.patreon.com/MedCrimes Podcast.
We're about ready to do a giveaway.
We love doing giveaways because we love our Patreon.
Thank you for joining us. I gotta go put my kids to bed.
Oh, enjoy.
Hey,
we love you guys.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.